Be yes. proud of the person that you're looking at in that mirror 50 years from now. Come on, somebody. Yes. Don't mess with me.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Orange Slice Season 3. Today is a special day. It is massive. We have Les Thomas Sr., the OSU hype man in the building.
What's up? How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I am excited to be here. Let's go, somebody. Come on.
We are so glad that you could come and collaborate with us, man, and share some of your life experience.
Yes.
Give us some insight and tell us even how you became the legendary OSU hype man.
I'm still working on the legendary, but I'm getting there. I'm almost there. You know, a couple more years.
Yes. Well, I've heard some great things about you, first off, in the community.
Yes, ma'am.
Congratulations. You've been appointed as the advisory for the state board with the Oklahoma Juvenile Affairs.
Yes, ma'am. So I'm super passionate. Like, my background, my childhood was really challenging, but I had a loving mother that believed in me. And with all the distractions around me, you know, she kept me focused on what, keeping the main thing. And coming from as a child, a young person with not having much lack of resources, my mother still gave. She served like crazy. Even out of, you know, I'm up here eating some cereal with water, you know, but my mother is like, you know, being a mother to all the neighborhood and serving at church and doing those type of things. And so even out of our lack, she still gave. So it's created a heart in me to serve the community. And so being appointed as a chair for SAG, the State Advisory Group, is huge for me. Like, it's like a full circle. Because I had some juvenile challenges as a kid, right? You know, but it makes me all the more thankful for the opportunities. And so, like, as the chair for SAG, you know, basically, OJA is defense. So I'm on the board for OJA as well. But OJA is like defense. Like, once the young people come in, we want to make sure that we're giving them treatment and make sure that they come out better than they went in, right? It's all about restoring and rehabilitating type thing. But the cool thing about SAG is now being on that board as well is that it's about prevention. Right. It's about how can we build these young people up before they get to the OJA part. Right. Before they go to Kojak, before they go to a Boys and Girls Club or something like that. Not the community place, but you know what I'm saying? Like a home. Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So it's huge. I love it. I love being able to be in that capacity. Prevention has been something I've been doing for a really long time. I'm gonna say around 15 years. I know I look young, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? But I'm gonna say I've been doing prevention around 15 years, really building up young people, giving them hope, and giving them the tools to be successful within their own right. So yeah, SAG is just another avenue for me to do that.
Wow, thank you for that. So as you're influencing these young people, do you promote education? Do you promote starting off with maybe a community college like OSU OKC first and, you know, working on building up to then go to a four-year university like OSU Stillwater?
Yeah. One thing I believe in, like, you know, we look at social media, we look at movies, we look at famous people, and we've allowed people to dictate or try to say what success is, right? And the demographics why I serve, it's a lot of brokenness, a lot of challenges, fatherlessness and all that. But I look at that demographic as an opportunity to help people change generations, right? And so for me, you know, even though the world tells us you have to accomplish X, Y, Z to be successful, I think that's fake, false, and funny. I think success for an individual looks like, what can I accomplish? What am I called to do? Can I jump into that lane? So I'm answering your question, but I'm answering it the way I know how to. And that is, are you the first person? You might be the first person to graduate high school in your family. That's success, man. You know, you might be the first person to hold down a job for 6 months.
Yeah,
that's success, right? And so for me, it's like, okay, after high school, what are your options? Mm-hmm. What do you want to do? What are you passionate about? And, you know, education is definitely one of the things that I push for sure. And for some, they may have the resources to go to a, you know, a four-year university, and some don't, right? And so it's like, okay, you know, staying local or helping out mom, right? Mm-hmm. A lot of students are helping out mom, helping out dad. But it's like you can still get your education while you stay here in Oklahoma City and help our city thrive. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
People be wanting to go to these other cities. Stay right here and build. You know what I'm saying? We popping here in Oklahoma City, right? And so I have to tell young people, y'all be trying to look at all these other cities. I'm like, you can stay here and be part of the fabric to say, I remember when.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I remember when we didn't have this, when we didn't have that. But now it's like, okay, let me stay here and help a city thrive because we have a lot going on. You know, when I just think about the last 20 years, 2005, we've grown so much since then. You know, the unfortunate thing with, you know, Hurricane Katrina, so sad, and you know, heart still goes out to New Orleans and you know, Mississippi and all that, and Alabama. But it ended up being something that worked out for us because we got the Hornets, right? And then we showed we could support an NBA team. And next thing you know, we get the Thunder. Yeah. I remember when Bricktown was dead town. You know what I'm saying? Like everything was bricked up, everything was you know, wood was over the windows and everything, boarded up and stuff. But so for me, it's like, okay, you can find a place to succeed within your own right in Oklahoma City. And that could be through, you know, OSU OKC, right? That could be through, we're going to keep it pushing, baby, you know what I'm saying? That could be through OSU OKC, right? That could be through the military. That could be through a trade school. That could be through a four-year university. But whatever it is, make sure it's something you want to do. Now, at the age of 17, 18, you know, it's really hard to know exactly what you want to do for sure. But I'm like, do something. Like, sitting at home is not an option,
right?
And you know what? You Uber to go eat. You Uber to go to Frontier City. You Uber to go to the homie's house. Why not Uber to OSU OKC?
That's right.
Why not go to a community college that you can get to? Come on now. You want to invest in this food, invest in hanging with this friend, invest in yourself. Come on, somebody.
That's right.
You ain't ready. You ain't ready. I stay ready.
Listen, with you saying that leads me to your book. The three
levels
of influence.
Yeah.
Like, my God.
Yeah.
Mentorship, peerism, and, you know, holding somebody's hand and pulling them up after you learn something.
Yeah. I am a product of great mentors. As I kind of touched on a little earlier, you know, I grew up in a gang neighborhood, drugs was there, lack of resources. I mean, everything you can name them that comes on, you know, comes in the area with lack of resources. But I had one guy named Mr. Green. Mm-hmm. Mr. Green took this skinny, big-eared boy in, you know, light-skinned with freckles, you know, connect the dots, la, 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 all that stuff. I heard it, you know what I'm saying? Dumbo, because I had real big ears. They called me and all that. But I had Mr. Green who could see the potential in me and see that I was a product of my environment. It wasn't necessarily who I was, right? My identity wasn't in those things I was doing, but he could see through all of that and say, This is a good kid. You have potential. And Mr. Green would just take me in and spend a lot of time with me because my mother raised me. I call her Mather. Like, my mom, she raised three boys. You know, wow. I feel like women are superheroes. Shout out to women,
that's
you
right.
know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Y'all are superheroes, you know. And my superhero was my mother. And she did everything that she could. You know, I tell people I was a drug baby because she would drag me to church. You know, she drugged me to church 8 days a week. You know what I'm saying? And I know it's not 8 days a week, but to me it felt like 8 days a week. I was in church all the time. But, you know, as a single mom, you know, you have to go get that bag, you know, which means you may have to have a couple of jobs, which means that your kid is now going to have idle time, free time to be at home. And if you're in a neighborhood where there's a lot of bad distractions, right, you need someone to help you anchor. And that was Mr. Green. He was my first mentor. Super thankful for him. And so me, I'm a product of several people pouring into my life. And so I was like, how can I give a piece of me or what's helped me be successful within my own right? I can do that by writing a book. And that's where three levels of influence come from, which it means, you know, this first level here above you is someone that you can sell your share your idiosyncrasies with, your challenges, someone who can bring correction in your life, someone that can help you, all those type of things, right? Someone you can be honest with, they can be honest with you, because a lot of people do life alone. Right. And doing life alone is not good.
Yeah.
You got to have people in your life that you can be real with and that can be real with, too. That's that first level. Second level is like your iron sharper iron. That's your peers. That's the people you hang out with day in and day out. And usually they know what's really going on with you.
Right.
They know how you're treating your kids, mm-hmm. how you're treating your spouse, mm-hmm. how you what you're doing at work, right? Because the person that's mentoring you, they only know really what you tell them, but the people that hang out with you daily, they know if you snapped off on your kid. Yeah. They know if you snapped off on somebody at Walmart, right?
Yeah.
That's somebody that could put you to the side, hey, man, you're tripping. You need to, you know, chill out a little bit. And then everything that you learn from those first two levels is imperative to pass it on to the next, right? And so you have that third level, and that's the person that's your mentee, right? And so giving back to society, people say, how can I give back, you know? It's not always going to be recognized by the world, mm-hmm. but how you can give back is to your neighbor, is by that cousin, that young person that you work with, that young person that you know that's in your neighborhood or whatever, just someone that you can be a mentor to. That's giving back to society. It's not going to always be 50,000 people you in front of. It's not going to always be 60. That one, because that one is going to eventually have a family that they're going to lead. They're going to eventually have kids. So you're changing generations when you're pulling one. Come on, man. Don't limit it to one. But, yeah, that's what the book is about. Yeah, go get that joint.
Wow. Go get it. Go
three
get
levels
it
of influence.
ASAP. You know, I think it's your mentorship that has led you to become an impeccable hype man. OSU Stillwater is so blessed. We want you to come over here. You know, we've got some events. We can have you here. We'd love to
I live here in the city,
up.
Actually. You know, people think I live in Stillwater, but I live here in Oklahoma City. Yeah, so I mean, it ain't nothing. It's hop, skip, jump to come over here.
That's right. Yep. So we're going to have to let you know about some upcoming events, okay?
Come on,
we're
somebody.
We're
looking at the camera and telling you, come on, upcoming
That's
events.
Right.
We're waiting for you.
Well, Les, you know, tell us what led you to becoming the OSU hype man. Where did this come from?
Okay. I'm going to say it as quick as I can. I grew up in my mother was a diehard OU fan. Huge OU fan. Like, I don't know what she was thinking. My mother did everything right. My mother did. Listen, the mother of the year. I'll fight Mike Tyson on that. But the one thing she did wrong is she supported the school down south. And I don't care who listening. I'm saying, this is my interview. I'm saying what I want to say. She supported the other school, right? So I grew up in the OU house, which is it's cool. It's cool. You know, I'm kind of having fun with it. But in the late 90s, OSU was one of the few schools that was taking people from my demographics, from the east side, from northeast mm-hmm. side, right? Mm-hmm. So you had Alonzo Mays in 95 who was there from Douglas, and then you had Marcellus Rivers who was one of my best friends that played at Douglas. Even though I went to Millwood, shout out to the Falcons, some of my best friends went to Douglas, right? And then Rashawn Woods who ended up being like, you know, his brother Donovan works here, but Rashawn who ended up being a huge guy for OSU, right?
Yeah.
I played football with him. So what the transition happened when I said, you know, when I noticed that a university will – take a chance on young people from my area that people think nothing good can come from. That's really how I became an OSU fan. Because I'm like, I can rock with a school that's going to take students from my
that's
area,
right.
right? And so that's how I became an OSU fan. And that was in the late 90s. And I was just a casual fan, would go to games here and there. And then in 2013, I was asked to go do chapel for the football team on the home games. I remember the first game I went to, the first chapel I went to, because I was an artist as well. If you didn't know, I did music for a long time. So I went in, and it was like, you know, you don't have to get them hyped. Just do some music and give them a good inspirational word. So I came in. Inspirational word, did some music. It was so crazy to see them big old dudes with their hands in the air, you know what I'm saying, right before the game. And then a few of the guys was like, you know what? We don't want a rotating person to come in on home games. We want Les to come. So from 2013 to 2016, I did most of the home games where I would come in, give an inspirational word, do some music, have fun with them. And this is on game day when they ready, right?
What?
Right. Yeah, this is on game day. So it's not like during the week. This is like 5 hours before the game start, I would come in, and you could see them. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you think about a pit bull or a dog that's trying to get somebody, you could just see them. They just moving around, shoulders and head, because they've been pumped up for this moment, right? Mm-hmm. And I was able to help them enjoy that moment. And from there, one of the guys, Ramon Richard, said, you should do a song for OSU, right? And I did, and it's called Let's Go Pokes. And when I did that song, it blew up. You hear me?
What?
Listen, I did the song. This song, I released it on a Thursday. I recorded it on a Thursday. Actually wrote it. I was in the military. If y'all don't know, I'm a retired Air Force. So while, yeah, I'm sorry. I probably shouldn't say that because they was like,
you should have led with that.
My tax dollars, you was using the right lyrics at work. You know what I'm saying? I was in them. Yeah, shout out to everyone who served. We appreciate you. I wrote this song, recorded on a Thursday. By Saturday, they was playing it at the game. And it's not that easy. right? Like, because it had to get approved by Gundy, had to be approved by all these different people. Boom, 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 real quick, it got approved. Saturday, they planned it. And that's what opened up the doors, like, outside of athletics, right? Administration started knowing who I am type thing. And then in 2017, the guy before me, Matt, who was doing an amazing job, he resigned. And a lady came to me, Tia. Shout out to Tia Heron, Tia Scott. We both went to Millwood. When she heard the song, she was like, Les, she hit me up. Les, is that you? I was like, yeah, that's me. She recognized my voice. And then I got the opportunity to try out. And so I'll never forget, they gave me a script the day before the tryout. And these scripts is like big paragraphs. Wow. Now, we're talking about like, you give this to me less than 24 hours before I got a tryout. But what they don't know was that they were sleeping on a giant. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to deal my life with nobody. They were sleeping on a giant because what I had, the reason I was ready was because if you prepare when the opportunity comes, it's too late, right? And so as an artist, when I was traveling, I'm going somewhere, follow me. Uh-huh. When I was traveling as an artist, it doesn't matter if it was 6, 60, 600, or 6,000 people, I always gave my all. So here it is in front of six people. I'm going ham traveling the country as a Christian rap artist. Like, right. You know, I didn't care. I never cared about how many people was there. So now I have this opportunity, and I used to do stage plays as well. Right. So now I have this opportunity. They gave me the script the day before. But what they don't know is the six people I had to try out in front of, I had already been trying out in front of you. Because the six people that I was in front of when I would travel around, and then many artists would be heartbroken because it's not that many people here. But I'm like, nah, God gave me this gift. God gave me this talent. I'm about to do it for his glory. Right? So I would go hard no matter how many people was there. So here it is. They say, try it in front of six people. I'm like, I'm built for this. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? I've been preparing. So I tried in front of these six people. They could not believe that I memorized this script. And these scripts are paragraphs. Less than 24 hours before my tryout, they gave it to me. And I'm going to tell you, somehow I memorized these scripts, right? Wow. I think being an artist, doing music, it kind of helps me, right? Because I kind of put it in my head as a song. And I just remember walking in and Boone Pickens Stadium in front of six people. They were like, okay, here's a script we gave you. I said, I think I'm good on the first one. They was like, yeah, we just gave it to you yesterday. I said, I think I'm good. Boom, I hit that first one. Second, we go to the second one. They were like, okay, here's a script. I know we just gave it to you. I said, I think I got it. They were like, Les, we just gave you the script yesterday. Ain't no way you memorized this. And I said, I think I got it, right? You know, I'm being humble. I'm like, I think I got it. Boom, I nailed the second one. And here's the thing. When I was trying out, some of the people that was there, like, was not paying attention to me. Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. They was kind of like not paying attention to me. And then we got to the third one. She was like, Les, here's the script. And I said, I think I got it. And she just blows up. It's impossible. I can't believe we just gave the script to you like yesterday. You know what I'm saying? And you got it already. When she did that, the other people that wasn't paying attention was like, well, maybe we should pay attention to this. That's dude. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right.
That's right.
And that third one, I hit it. I think it was Pistol Pete Partner. Like, you know, I'm here with 8-year-old Dave from Tulsa, Pistol Pete Partner of the game or whatever. Wow. So anyway, they's like, okay, well, change it from 8-year-old Dave to 9-year-old Sarah from Tecumseh. I'm like, I'm here with 9-year-old Sarah from Tecumseh. She's our Pistol Pete Partner game. They were like, oh, like, cause because they try to switch it up on me and I still nailed it or whatever. And so I'm super thankful. That's really the tryout was the thing. But the truth is, it's part of my purpose. It's part of my calling. It's part of who I am, right? And so I think a lot of times, I think the message in that is whatever you are passionate about, whatever keeps you up at night, whatever your strong desire is, prepare now. Don't wait until the opportunity come. If I would have waited, I would have missed a huge opportunity. Mm-hmm. Being the hype man at Old State in front of 60,000 people have opened up so many doors. I don't know if I would be on OJ and SAG. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Governor Stitt, you know what I'm saying? He got to approve that.
That's
right. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm where I'm at if it wasn't for being a hype man at Old State. So I'm thankful. And I can't give Oklahoma State of Athletics the glory in that. Yeah, they gave me the opportunity, but we already know where the real opportunity comes from. We know where the source is. That's God, man. So I'm just a thankful person trying to carry out this calling that's on my life.
Wow. Wow.
That's how I became the hype man. Now I'm in front of 60,000 people going crazy.
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 They got to look it up on Instagram, look it up on YouTube. Yeah. Let's go, Pokes. Les is amazing. He's a true mentor, influencer, and hype man. And Les, we want to give you the opportunity to leave, you know, the students and potential future students with some words of wisdom. What do you have to say to potential OSU, OKC students that will be entering in the fall?
What I would say is, sometimes in life, you got to be a little selfish, right? You know, I think it's really hard. I mean, like, we always teach people to be selfless, right? And we need to be selfless. But sometimes when you're so selfless, you don't consider yourself.
Yeah.
And you say, Les Thomas, what do you mean by that? What is it that you want to do? You've heard from your parents. You've heard from mentors. You've heard from people in your family. And in fact, you've heard a lot of people say what you can't do. That's because they look at you through their lens of how they see you. And they think that the things that you would like to do is impossible because they're putting limits on you. My thing is, be a little selfish and examine yourself and take those dang limits off. Don't let nobody put no imaginary lid over you on what you can accomplish. A flea can jump 3 feet in the air. But if you put a flea in a jar and put a lid over it, you take the lid off, that flea will not jump out of that jar because it will reduce its potential based on the environment that it's in. So when you take the lid off the flea, you can still jump 3 feet, but you won't even jump 12 inches because you think you can't jump 12 inches. I'm here to tell you that you can jump 3 feet.
Yeah.
You can jump 30 feet.
Yeah.
Don't let nobody tell you that it's impossible. Don't let nobody tell you that you can't do this and you can't do that. We've heard all the things that we can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you what you can do, and that is be the best version of yourself. Don't listen to other people. Examine yourself and do what you call to do and forget what everybody else, the naysayers, are saying out there. Nobody care about them anyway. Because the people that you think that you're trying to impress right now ain't going to matter in a year. Ain't going to matter in 3 years. It ain't going to matter in 5 years. You know who you're going to have to look at in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years? Yourself. Be proud of the person that you're looking at in that mirror 50 years from now. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Don't mess with me.
Yes. Thank you so much, Les. We are so glad that you could come through and spend some time with us. More importantly, we know our viewers are excited to have you here as well. Thank you all for watching. Most importantly, listening. This is Orange Slice Season 3. See you next time.
Go Pokes. Yes, sir.